This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, the summer heat has come in spring. It's in the 90s all of a sudden. Oh, my gosh, here we go.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't that long ago you were talking about how cold it was.
that's right. Last Sunday, they wore coats to church.
Yeah.
That's how cold it was. Wow. And it was 45 at night last week. And now it's 90 every day. Wow, what happened?
Jeez, I know it. And then next weekend is Mother's Day. And so then all of a sudden it looks like, you know, it's going to be one of those really sweltering hot Mother's Day where you don't have, because sometimes Mother's Day is nice and cool. It's still kind of like in the springtime. So, you know, they have the cool-ish mornings and then you get into the afternoon. And it gets a little bit warm, obviously. But, you know, it sounds like it might be even just hot, like July 4th kind of hot.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, I just don't know what to think.
No time.
But anyway, let's talk about making money.
Let's do it.
That's
is your
good
money.
Subject.
Yes. It's Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are we with policies and whatnot? What's the general status?
Well, the general status is we're working on some new policies that have got great, great returns. I say that. I don't know. We haven't bought it yet, but the man's got two policies. They are great. The premiums are great. And the profit is outstanding if we buy it at that price. We haven't got the bid yet. But it'll be a marvelous return on investment if we get these two. So we're really, really trying to get them to the people and get them funded. So we'll know this next week. But they're both great policies. I'm shocked at the bids on this policy.
Really?
So the bids have been low, and we're bidding against our nemesis, of course, and we hope we get it. I think we've got a good chance. We haven't had any maturities this week, but we did have a lot of people doing annuities this week. Oh, and then I had a gentleman that used to have an account with us, was doing life settlements years ago with us. He made great money. He cashed out. Got all his money plus his profit, and he called this week. He said, I did good with y'all before. I'd like to come back and put some money with you again.
Really?
Yes. Now, how about that?
That's fantastic. Wow.
We were shocked, but we welcomed him back. We've already got him a new account and got him back in.
Wow. That was fast.
It was fast because he wrote a check. It's faster when you write a check versus, you know, when you do it the other way. And then we've done four more annuities. One of our great, great clients that's really from La Mesa, but she lives in Lubbock now. She's doing some for her grandchildren, some for herself. And, you know, I've had people do this before. They set up their grandchildren, you know, with a certain amount, get them started. Then the grandchildren can contribute to it over the years. When they get ready to retire, they've got a retirement income right there. It's built in.
Wow.
And yes, and they're young, so they had questions. We answered all their questions, you know, how it would work. They had a 401k at work. And as young as they are, it was just losing money, wasn't making anything. So they knew they needed to do something. And so
how young
we're
are they?
Getting them set up. So they've got something good happening to them. And I explained to them that it's not like the stock market. It doesn't go up and down. You know, whatever you make every year, it's locked in. It's all tax deferred. There is so many good things about this. It doesn't go through probate. Did you know that?
Hmm.
Annuities do not go through probate. It's not a part of your estate for probate. So that saves money and a lot of time. Lots of times people's money is tied up in probate if they don't have it set up right. In the meantime, you can draw money out of your annuity, or you can draw all of it. If the person's dead and you're the beneficiary, you need cash, you can get it right then. So that's a great deal. You can get it right away, 7 or 8 days.
Oh, wow, that is fast.
It is fast. All you do is send in the claim, and they write a check. If you spelt your name right, the birthdays are right on everything, and you've got the death certificate, you can cash it in immediately.
Wow. How old are these new people? Are they like 20s, 30s, 40s?
Yes, in their 20s and 30s.
Okay. All right. Is that generally a good age to get started? I know some people, you know, like you were saying, set people
it
up.
It is when
early.
If you're young and you can qualify. Remember, these people have to qualify. And sometimes somebody in their 20s might not could qualify without a little help from the grandparents or the parents. But somebody in the 30s usually can qualify by themselves.
If a parent, say, was going to set somebody up with an annuity and they were going to do it when they were, like, super young so that they're kind of, like, set up, they get a good foundation going for, like, later in life, is it one of those things where, like, the parents would set it up and then at some point when they're in their, maybe their 20s or 30s, when they get more of a responsible age that they take over, is that a good thing to do, or is it too young?
Well, you can do it one of two ways. Now, the way we did it for the people in Amarillo, their children, their grandchildren were pretty young. And the billings, everything about it went to the grandparents where they could watch over it.
Hmm.
But yet it was in their name. We went ahead and put it in the children's names.
Okay.
But the billing goes to the grandparents, and the grandparents are actually holding the annuities till they're old enough to hand it over.
And then those could go on for years and years, right, until they're...
They can go on for years.
Okay.
And as I told you, they've made 50% on those.
Jeez.
And that's unusual. And I wouldn't even have known it because I haven't been looking at their annuities, but one of the girls got married and wanted to change her annuity over. And when we pulled up the contract, it showed, you know, originally $10,000, and they've taken money all these years, and it showed that the interest income was $5,000.
Hmm.
And that's over a period of 10 years or so. So that's pretty good, 50%.
I remember, like, a long time ago, like parents or grandparents would set up, like, a savings account for like young children, and then at some point they would turn it over, and you know you might make a couple of dollars here and there, but at least they were saying, okay, well, this will be a good foundation. It doesn't sound like that's a thing anymore. It sounds like maybe annuities might be a better way to get young people started.
They'll make more than a CD at the bank, because you know those are very low, and there's so many ways you can do this. There's like 14 investments in it. So you can change it and change it and change it every year, or leave it the same. You know, whichever way you want to go. You can put it on the fixed rate. You know, there's just a lot of things. And, of course, right now they're offering that 9% bonus for the first year. So they're going to make 9% up front plus what it makes every year. And then every year that you put money in it, and he'll be putting more money in as you go along. He gets 9% every year that he puts money in it for 7 years.
Jeez.
So it's a win situation.
Yeah, that's a big. That's starting out with a like extra juice. It's like a big bang to get the whole thing started.
That's right. So you're starting out, you know, with a bonus, which helps you get started. Then at the end of the year, we'll see what it made. It locks in every year. And it doesn't go up and down. It's all tax deferred till you take it out. So there's it's better than a bank CD because you pay taxes on that. This is all tax deferred till you take it out. And then there's no probate on it at the end of your term. There's just a lot of good things about an annuity. And then the people that don't qualify for life settlements, they can do annuities.
Do you get a lot of, maybe not a lot, but you get some people that will set up an annuity for college, right? I mean, that's a...
Yes, we've done several college deals for people's grandchildren for them to go to college. And the way that works is you can take money out every year for college. And you've got, especially if they did it at 10 or 12 years old, they've got time for it to build up money for their college education. Then they can take 10% a year out toward college. So they won't be cashing it all in, but they'll be taking it yearly, which still gives them money.
Hmm.
Especially if they go to our local colleges.
Does it matter? It doesn't matter where people go, though, right? I mean, they can...
No, but it doesn't cost as much as what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking the tuition's a lot lower is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm naturally thinking about tuition, you know. And, you know, A&M and University of Texas, I mean, we've got so many great, great colleges here.
For people that wanted to start out, say I was like, I don't know, say I was like about to go into college and I'm exceptionally responsible.
Okay.
That
and
right
you're
there.
You're young and going to college. Okay.
We'll pretend.
I love this story.
Or maybe we should say, okay, I'm getting out of college. I'm going into the work environment. I'm like in my mid-20s-ish. Is that a good time to actually like start annuities? I mean, by the time people get to,
certainly,
you know, like retire.
That's right. That's right. You need to start young. Nowadays, things are changing. If young people would save money, go into annuities, they'll have money and they won't blow it. They say when somebody dies, the heirs blow all the money in 14 months.
Really?
That's
Whoa,
right.
I didn't know
it takes
that.
It's 14 months to spend all your money that you worked all your life for.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's
unless
sad.
You have a trust set up with restrictions. Now, the annuity doesn't have to be in a trust, or it can be either way. So that will work either way you want to do it.
All right. So annuities, basically, it comes back down to you set it, you forget it, and then at some point down the road, you take your profit, basically, right?
That's exactly right.
All right.
Start taking profit either lump sum or monthly payout.
And you say that
I've got two people right now that are on monthly payout. They've got two $100,000 annuities. They bought them at different times. And now they're taking $500 a month out of each one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And they've had them for a while?
Yes.
Hmm. This is opposed to the life settlements, which are more interactive. Is that the good way to put it? As opposed
to... I think so. Life settlements are an active investment. In other words, we're putting people in them, and then we're setting up whatever investment we want. If they want five investments or 10 or three, we're setting those up. We buy those policies. When they mature, they bank their money. So their money is turning faster than an annuity. Annuity is not that type of investment, but life settlements are. You get that interest earned every couple of years, and that really helps. And so, like, we have a lot of people this year that had a lot of annuities mature. We had more maturities than we've had in a long time. So several people told me, one person told me that he made $160,000 this year in interest.
Wow.
That we paid him that much. So once you get your annuity started, you know, it's 10%. Once you get this started, it's like 20, 24% that you're making.
based on the LE?
Yeah, based on your LE, whatever it is. We've done some short ones. This short one I'm looking at now, you know, one of them is 30 months, which I love 30 months. And I'm looking at another one that's 6 months. I don't even know if that'll work. If it's only 6 months, I'm afraid that they'll back out.
Yeah.
Because they don't have long. I mean, and the family may make them keep it where they get all the cash. You know, you never know. But what I love about life settlements is the return on money. I like it that it's in a life insurance policy that's safe. We always know where their money is. We don't have to worry about the safety factor. And we check out every life insurance company before we do it. We make sure that it's on our list, you know, of A-rated companies. The only one we've done that's a B-rated is Genworth. And Genworth is worth billions. Even though it's rated B, it's worth billions. So it's safe to use them.
So annuities more like I'm trying to characterize each one in a very short way so that people who are coming in who have never done anything like this before, they kind of have an idea of what to expect. So a life settlement is more the profits are bigger, return is shorter, there's a little bit more involvement. Not that you have to like get up and do anything every day, but there is a little bit more interaction.
No, you don't.
As opposed to an annuity.
We talk to clients. You know, like monthly, clients will call, ask about a policy. Faye, what do you think about it? We go over the LA, we go over what's wrong with the person, and make sure that it is stage four. They may have already had surgery. They may not can have surgery. You know, a lot of things, you cannot resection. You cannot do surgery because where it's at or how bad it is. Then we look to see where it's spread. You know, lots of times they don't know to read all this or to look for it. And I'll go over it with them if they have any problem. And then they make a decision to go in that. We put up the money. We transfer the money and pay the person off.
So I guess if you were to, not to relate it back to food, but if you were to compare the two types of investments, the annuity would be the turkey. You put that in the oven, and then in, you know, several hours, it's done. While that's in the oven, you've got the life settlement on the burner. You're making the green beans, you're making the potatoes, you're making the, you know, the dressing and all that. All those are kind of like going on at the same time. So you've got almost two layers, one long-term and one kind of short-term. Is that a stupid way to put it? Or is that...
Yeah, well, it's unusual. I've never heard it put that way, frankly.
Unusual. Well, that was kind. That's very nice. Thank you.
I was being very kind to you.
I know.
What I love about life settlements, it's a safety factor. I love the fact that we use Nevada Trust as a trustee on everything. Most companies don't have a trustee. We have an independent trustee that handles all the money. That's why we like it. They make sure the premiums are paid. When the person matures, they die, they get the death certificate, send it in. The check comes to Nevada Trust, not us. And then they put it in everybody's accounts. We tell them where it goes. So we've got all these safety features on our investments that brokerage houses don't have because they handle your money flat out, which is always good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we do a lot more safety features than a brokerage house does.
And there's never a down season for life settlements. You never have, you know, like if the market has a downturn or if the, you know, stocks are down, or real estate is down or inflation is up or anything. None of that. I mean, life settlements go on as they are and there's nothing that affects them. They're in their own little ecosystem, right?
That's right. Nothing affects a life policy. The weather, war, stock market, banks failures, none of that affects a life settlement. This is with a life insurance company that's got enough reserves to handle anything that comes their way.
For those who have never done a life settlement before, what would be a good starting point? How much would somebody want to put in? How many policies will they want to get into?
Well, you have to start with a minimum of $100,000. But if you have $300,000 or $400,000, you can do a lot of policies and do a lot of good. Because our LEs are better We're using a better company now. These are scientists. They've got a heck of a track record. So all these you've noticed are coming due now. We're not having all those delays in maturities that we had before. We had, you know, we've had over 20 million in maturities in the last 3 months.
Wow.
So our maturities are staggering the way they're coming in. So we know we're doing a lot better job.
You know, a lot of people will probably say, well, geez, you know, we're looking, you know, 18, 24, 30 months, something like that. The interesting thing is, as we sit here this morning and we talk about, you know, these life settlements that, you know, hey, most of them will come in, you know, 18, 24, 30 months. The cool thing is that people who got in policies 18, 24, 30 months ago are now getting those that are maturing now, they're getting paid and then reinvesting. And that's how the whole process works. It's almost like a big game of financial leapfrog. Some will mature,
right.
You reinvest, mature, reinvest, kind of like that, right?
That's right. And the older policies that were done some time back, they're not maturing as good. They're not maturing as fast, but they are maturing now. This guy called me. He said, I've got three policies that are over. We talked about it. I looked at it. I said, that one I think is fixing to come due right away. I looked at it. And sure enough, that one came due and another one. It's always in pairs of two to three.
Hmm.
And I don't know why. I don't understand it. But it is.
Is there anything that's hot right now more than the other, life settlements or annuities? Or are they both kind of like on fire in a good way?
They're both really good investments right now. They're solid. People are making money. It's a good investment whichever way you go. The life settlements is active. The annuities are passive. You just sit there, forget them, and you draw your money. So it's two different types of investment. Life settlements makes more naturally. But then you have the risk of it going over. So, you know, different people feel different. But our big investors are all definitely in life settlements. Then usually they'll buy a couple or three annuities because they want to give that money to somebody when they die. We haven't discussed that. But a lot of annuity buyers buy it for their relatives that they're going to leave their money to.
Really?
They're not really buying it for themselves. Yeah. I've got several wealthy people that are buying annuities right now as part of their estate.
Wow. We haven't really talked about that. I don't think we've...
I guess I didn't think about that. But I have several people that are wealthy that are leaving their grandchildren money, their sister, their brother, whoever it is. So they have annuities with us. And it's to leave money that won't be part of the estate to some of their relatives that are not as well off as they are.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So annuities can be used 50 different ways, and it works.
When people are looking at, you know, coming in, maybe never, because I know you've had a lot of new investors coming in from different places. They've said, you know, we're not making any money on Wall Street, or we've lost too much money over the years, or our portfolio is terrible, or whatever the reason is. When they're coming in and they're examining which option is best for us, how would you characterize a typical or an average investor in life settlements? And what does some of your greatest investors' portfolio look like? And I mean that generically. Like, say, okay, people are in like 20 policies and they've made, you know, however much money over 20 years. What would something like that look like, just to kind of put it in perspective?
Well, the people that have been with us a long time have made, you know, very good money over the years. That's why they've stayed. They would have got out a long time ago if it wasn't making money. So people that come, they know it's long term, you know, that it's 2 years at a time, 18 months at a time, and that we're rolling that over. So people with life settlements are people usually 50 years old and older. They're coming from major companies, big oil companies. They'll bring over $1 million and put with us. Or they may bring $100,000 over. because they're still working. They've still got their 401k somewhere else. So they're bringing us their cash that they have on hand. So we start them a program, and they've got another program going also. So it's just a matter of which one's going to do the best. And when they get ready to retire, where will their money be? Which one will have the most money in it? I think that's what they're doing.
If people have never done a life settlement before and they want to kind of come in, maybe try it out, maybe try one or two, see how it goes, and then kind of go from there, is that normal? Do people do that sometimes?
Sure.
Or are they all...
Lots of times people come over and they'll say, I'll put $100,000. We'll see how it goes. I'll put more. And once those first ones mature, they always put a lot more. Like the other day, that policy that we did that everybody was rushing to get in, I had people go and get money out of other accounts and put in their account with us to cover that. I had people go and get another $100,000. I had people that wanted to put over $200,000 in that policy. That's how good it was. And we stopped and said, no, I think you've got enough in it.
Mm.
But our big investors, when they see a really good policy, they go and get more money and put it in. If they're out of money in their account, they just go and write a check from somewhere else. We have several doctors that are with us. And when it's a really good policy, they jump in immediately. They're one of the first ones that says, yes, I want in that policy.
What are some types of good policies? What are the ones that attract those people the most that say, I'm all in when one comes across your desk?
Well, colon cancer is the deadliest cancer, I think, on Earth. We do a lot of colon cancers. We've had a lot of colon cancer maturities. We've had a lot of throat this last 2 years. And these people with throat cancer do not survive. It's just a simple fact of life. And, of course, pancreatic cancer. If I had all pancreatic cancers, I'd have them all filled today.
Wow.
Everybody likes, because pancreatic cancer is fast. They'll say 18 months. It's going to come in 9 or 10 months. It's a deadly cancer. People don't know about it till they're almost dead. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But that's exactly what happens. It's fast moving. And one of our clients said his uncle died in 6 weeks after he found out he had it.
Oh, wow.
So, it's a fast moving cancer and not detected. I don't understand it. And then lately, I've read in the news about several people. One was a teenager playing football. He didn't know it. He had leukemia. He was in the hospital 3 days and passed away.
Oh, my God.
So cancer is still, people say they're getting cures, but it's deadly, absolutely deadly.
Wow.
Ovarian cancer is very deadly. Usually never survive ovarian cancer. So there's 4 or 5 kinds that we do on a continual base, and people know how deadly it is, so they do like those a lot.
I know there's a lot of medical talk as we go through these and, you know, types of policies and LEs and, you know, things like that. It's important for people to know, especially for new investors who have never done this before, you don't need to have medical background to do this. There's a ton of information that is in regular layman's terms that we can all understand. It's what we used to, in the documentation, we used to call it page 14, but now it's what, it's third to the end or something?
Yeah,
like
now
that.
It's 3 or 4 pages from the back.
It's not as
not the same place, unfortunately.
It's not as catchy to call it that, but still, that's kind of what you default back to. And that's where people can find out, you know, all kinds of the nitty gritty. What kinds of things would do people typically see on that document?
Okay, it will tell you what the face amount is, what you've invested, what percentage you're going to make. It gives you all the information, and then tells you if it goes over, what percent it will cost you. So we've got all the facts lined out on that particular page. So if you ever say, I don't remember everything she told me, you go to that page and it'll say, this is what kind of cancer it is. This is who we bought it from. This is the life insurance company. This is the rating of the life insurance company. And then it says face amount, like $1 million. Then it gives you all the information, how many months it is, what the percentage is, what you're going to make. It gives you the information on everything.
Cool.
So you've got it down.
And it is well-informed. People know a lot of information going in on the front end, so they know exactly what they're getting into. They know exactly what, you know, types of policies they are. They have all this information, and I don't know off the top of my head that there's another investment that you can have that much actual solid information. Most things, especially on Wall Street or other investment opportunities, it's kind of like a guess. This is a much more informed educational decision. Is that a good way to characterize it, or is that weird?
I think it is right, because in order to make an informed decision, you need everything. That's why we send out the complete report on them, and they walk you through it, as you know, what treatments they've had, what chemo they're taking, what cancer drugs they're taking, what the results of it were, how long they've had it, did it come back a second time? And that's the key. If it's already come back a second time, you know, you're done for. And like a lot of times they'll say, they discovered it in 21. Well, this is 23, and here they are, you know, terminal.
Mm.
So it depends which kind of fast-moving cancer it is, what the prognosis they say, and they give you all this information. So once you've read it, you should know, you know, what you want to do, if it's a yes or if it's a no. And lots of times we have a deadline. And our people, they do not read their emails. So it sometimes it's tough. I think I'm going to start texting. I think they would get the message if I text it. But, you know, sometimes we have a deadline, and I'm trying to meet the deadline without harassing them or, you know, saying too much about the policy. I had two people or three that didn't get in it. One is livid at me. It's my hairdresser. I mean, he said, Faye, I told you I wanted it a short term. He said, can't you make somebody take less and give me a part of it? I said, we don't do that. He said, would you just call somebody? He said, I was going to put $100,000 in. Oh, my gosh.
I have a feeling.
But he's French. He doesn't understand American ways.
Oh, that's what it is.
You know, when you're French and you live in America, it takes a long time to get the American way. And, you know, he doesn't always understand what I'm telling him.
I think
you're
probably kidding about texting people, but I think you might be onto something.
I think I am. I just realized that this week that I can reach people faster if I text them rather than sending an email. And that's what has been the problem. We've been emailing them, and they're not reading the emails.
Yeah.
And then when they miss out, they're mad at me. And, you know, I thought that everybody read their emails all day long because I do.
Yeah, I believe you just opened up Pandora's box.
That's it. They don't do that. They only respond to email if they have to. Yeah. But if I'll text them, I've just figured that out. I'm going to start texting people when I really need to reach them and tell them something important.
That's a great idea.
That's what we're going to do.
Oh, boy. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I bet within 6 months your thumbs fall off.
There you go. It probably will.
You're going to be texting like crazy. All right. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
The largest collection of Tiffany glass in the United States.
Whoa, cool.
Now, where would you think a collection like this would be?
New York.
It is in Texas.
Of course it is.
It's in the Rio Grande Valley. You're not going to believe this story. It is in a gray stone building at the heart of San Juan, over here in the Rio Grande Valley. Yes. Now, let me tell you about this. It's the most interesting story. A Dr. Gelman, Rio Grande Valley, several years ago was in Atlanta, and he saw this beautiful stained glass window at an auction. And he left, and he phoned them back and made a bid. He got the stained glass window. and he spent years collecting stained glass windows. He has the largest collection in the United States. It is all housed in the Gelman Museum. He built a museum right here in Texas, and this is some of the he's got. All these Tiffany glass stained windows, as I said, the biggest in the world. I believe there's 150 stained glass windows.
Wow.
And they say it's the most beautiful thing in the world when the light reflects on all these. And a lot of them are religious. They range from 10 to 25 feet tall. It's just... as I said, all these beautiful stained glass windows. And he started the collection 30 years ago. Now, he chose San Juan because it's near the Basilica, am I saying that right? Of Our Lady of San Juan. There's a shrine there that people come to see every year. More than a million visitors go to see the shrine. He has created... from 1880 and 1910, all these beautiful master glasswork artists. It comprises, as I said, 71 Lewis Comfort Tiffany windows.
Wow.
The largest collection anywhere. John Lafarge, Mary Elizabeth Tillinghast, and J&R Lamb Studios. His studio goes back to 1857.
Really? Wow.
He went to New York City. And there's these old churches that had all these Tiffany windows. He got all this Tiffany glass, brought it back, and had this place restore every one of these. They are vivid jewel tones. They've got blues and greens. These are masterpieces. The museum is a glorious work of art. And a lot of these are contributed to Jesus, the Beatitudes, and there's these angels guarding everyone. One of them is, it says, to the glory of God, in loving memory of this man, Chamberlain Gay, from 1835 to 1913. One of the windows is a memory of three women who died in the wreck of a ship called the Paul Jones in 1899 in the Gulf of Mexico.
Hmm.
Wow. It's an amazing thing. And the art company was La Casa del Vitro in Edinburgh restored every bit of these. And all the ones of Christ are just magnificent.
Wow. I bet that's amazing to see.
It's just the most amazing thing. And it is by... reservation only.
Really?
Yes, they're worth so much money, and I guess delicate, and so you have to have a reservation to even get in.
Wow, so you can't just walk in the door, just pop in and say, hey, I'm here.
You cannot walk in the door, but it is magnificent. Everything is just it's an amazing story that he collected these over 30 years and then built the Gelman Museum to house all these in. And as I said, a lot of them are medieval from, 1800s, way, way back. A lot of them are Christian, ones that we would have never thought of, that we've never seen. And it's just an amazing thing. In the biblical scenes, there's a nativity, the flight into Egypt, the Good Shepherd, Madonna and Child. So it's just amazing. These eye-catching windows portraying the angels as stern warriors and as loving guardians presenting the Beatitudes.
Wow.
And they had adorned a private mausoleum for 108 years out of sight.
You know, there is something that's just, when you see stained glass like that, like what you're talking about, there is something that's very calming. It's very comforting. It's very I don't know what the right word is, but there's something that just kind of like brings you some peace when you see, you know, beautiful works.
And everybody says that. You can go and sit down and contemplate, and this light is washes over you while you're listening to all this and while you're watching it. Like you said, the peace of it is just an amazing thing. To sit there and to look and cogitate all these beautiful, beautiful scenes that have been done over thousands of years.
Wow.
And to know who the artist was that did all this, especially the ones with the Beatitudes and the angels. I love angels. And it shows these angels as loving guardians, presenting the Beatitudes. And these others, the medieval ones, 108 years out of the public eye.
Wow. And there's just, when you sit and look at stained glass and you see, you know, the light coming through this, it's so majestic, you know, it's just, you don't see, it's almost like stained glass is a lost art. It's just not.
It is, because you don't ever see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, churches used to have stained glass windows.
Yeah.
And anymore they don't. They build just little windows and don't have all this beauty that a stained glass window. And, you know, when I was a child, everybody gave for a stained glass window in the church. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
People would give a stained glass window, and they put your name on the window that you gave that. And you don't even see that anymore.
Mm-mm.
But they say it is so magnificent that the chapel just shimmers with windows rich in every pastel.
Mm. I bet
that is something.
And
then the sun
something.
Comes through it, and it's magnificent. It's a magnificent collection. This doctor did such a magnificent thing. Took him 30 years. They just opened it in 21. That's how long it took.
Wow. And you know, you look at stained glass and you just get this feeling of, you know, since you don't see it very much anymore, and it's not like a new thing and it's not common anymore, it's almost like it has this feeling of like, this is like really old world, kind of like true old world history, not like something that came off a conveyor belt or a factory or any. It's like these things now, we're at a point where if you see stained glass, there's a good chance that, especially the ones you're talking about, that are, you know, hundreds or maybe more, maybe even thousands of years old. I don't know how far back they go, but you get some of those good ones.
1885.
Yeah, I mean,
these go back to the 1800s. Yeah, a long, long time ago. And we don't have artists that can do this anymore. That's the thing of it. I don't think the artists way, way back there, you know, were able to paint all this and do all this. And you don't hear about anybody doing it anymore.
You don't. It's a shame, too, because it takes a special talent. It takes a special craft to do something like that. And they're so amazing to look at,
and to be this good at it, to do something like this. And then he had them all restored. No telling what he spent over 30 years putting this collection together.
Wow, man, I would love to go see that.
Yeah, and Dr. Gelman, I mean, he searched high and low for all this Tiffany glass, and it's just amazing.
Wow. I guess I was shocked to hear you say that it's appointment only, but now that, you know, that it's really kind of sinking in and I'm really kind of understanding what this is about, I can see. You don't want, you know, like hundreds of people just trampling through.
No, you would not want that at all.
No.
Because they're priceless art, and you want people to go in there very reverently and to look at your art,
yeah.
You know, and to sit down, to cogitate it, to enjoy it. And watch all the light come through and the pastels, the beautiful color. And you don't want a herd of elephants going through it.
Yeah.
I think that by letting it just, you have to have a reservation. It's quiet contemplation in there.
Yeah. I wonder if you can you just like sit there for a while?
Yes,
and just
as long as you want. And you can take pictures. You can do all kinds of things.
Really? You can take pictures? Oh, cool. Some places
like
that. Yes,
they allow pictures.
Neat.
No, they do allow pictures.
Boy, that would be just a retreat for like your soul. Golly.
It really would be a retreat for your soul. It's just, I can't wait to go see it.
And okay, so now where I know this is not probably like a weekend trip for like the family with the kids, or it's not like going to Schlitterbahn or something like that, but for those that wanted to go and take some time out, just have a nice peaceful maybe a weekend or something, make a weekend of it. Where is this again? Where can we go?
It's San Juan, Rio Grande Valley.
Hmm. Wow. And what's it called?
Gelman Stained Glass Museum.
I'm writing this down because I want to go see this. Gelman Stained Glass Museum.
Now there's 150 stained glass windows.
Jeez.
That is a lot. Do you realize how many 150 is?
Yeah. I mean, you go to a church, and like when we used to go see, have stained glass windows in places that we would go, you would have a few in a room, but I can't even imagine, you know.
Three or four, maybe.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But not 150.
No. I would imagine that would just move you on a whole new level that, oh,
and
wow.
I don't know how he got them from all these old churches, but he got them from all these old churches, from 1800s and brought them to Texas and didn't break them.
Yeah.
Now that's what's amazing.
That's a feat right there. And I know there's a lot of like European churches. I don't know, like I've never actually been to Notre Dame before, but I would imagine, and I don't know when it was built, but I would imagine, you know, even, you know, old school churches like that have been around for hundreds of years, maybe. You know, it just kind of, I would imagine it would be almost as moving as walking into something like that. It would just, I would imagine you can't go to this
museum. Oh, I think it'd be very, very moving.
Yeah.
To go and see this. I think it would change people a lot.
Yeah, you're not going in there.
Remind them of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, I think it would just be a very quiet contemplation for a while and looking at the beauty and just understanding it.
Wow. And the appreciation for the art that goes into it, too. Golly.
And to restore all this. Apparently, a lot of it was damaged, had to be restored, and this gentleman did all the restoration.
Wow. And that takes time to do a restoration, right? You can't just rush through and, you know, here, I'm going to wipe this down or clean this off. We're talking about a restoration. That's a massive undertaking. So there's an appreciation.
And remember, this was a 30-year project.
Yeah.
30 years of collecting and just now got it opened.
Wow. How cool. And it is open now, but you do have to make an appointment.
Yes. You do have to make an appointment. As I said, you can't just rush in there and have it open all day and all that. they do want to take care of it.
Yeah. Wow. How cool. I'm looking forward to that. That's going on the list of things to do, definitely. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've kind of hinted around the risks for life settlements a little while ago. For those that are coming in that have never done a life insurance policy before, never invested in anything like that, there are a couple of risks that they do need to know about on the front end. So what's the biggest one?
The biggest one is it could go over. You might have to pay premiums. Look at it. Ask me about it if you have any questions. But we're not doing any high premiums, so you're not going to have to worry about that. Any high premiums were done years ago. They're not being done now. I haven't been in 2 years, so you don't have to worry about it.
All right. And then the second risk?
Second risk is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. When it matures, you get paid, you get cash, but you have to know that, okay?
For annuities, are there any risks involved with those, or is it just kind of like it does its own thing and you're fine? I'm sure there's maybe something. There's got to be something.
I don't know what it would be. I mean, your principal's always safe, and you get your interest. There might be a year that it didn't make interest, but I think it's always made some interest. But once it makes interest, it's locked in.
All right. And it's not in the stock market, so you don't have to worry about any market.
It's not in the stock market. It's safe in annuity at all times.
What about qualifications for, let's start with qualifications for annuities. Any, are there any?
Okay, for annuities, you're going to see that you have enough income to pay your bills. You have to have emergency cash in the bank. If they don't think you have enough cash, they might not write the annuity. So we always have to check. What do you make? What do you put in the bank? Do you have a savings account, a checking account? You know, that, just normal things. Like if you say, I make $10,000 a month, how much do you spend a month?
Mm.
If you say $9,000, they probably wouldn't write it.
Probably not.
No, if you just have $1,000 a month to live on, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. What about for life settlements? I know there you do have to be accredited, so what does that mean?
You must be accredited. You must be make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without the house. They never let you do the house.
Okay. What about availability? Somebody come over to you, say somebody called you, brand new investor this week. They said, hey, I want to get into an annuity and I want to get into a life settlement. What would the time frame be for each?
Well, we would be able to do it this week. And then it depends if we have to do a transfer of money or if they're writing a check. If they're writing a check, you can get them in immediately. If we've got to transfer money, get money from some other place, it takes a little longer.
Is it fair to say that, that so far in 2023, this has been the biggest year so far that you've ever had?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
It has.
Because I thought.
People are making more money. We're getting more maturities. We're doing bigger policies. You know, we just did that $5 million for people the other day. So we're doing a lot of policies, moving a lot of money for people, getting them prepared to make more money.
Okay. And what's the process? The people just call, they make an appointment, they come in.
That's right. Call, make an appointment, and talk to me.
Okay. And they don't have to start right away. If they just want to come in, you'll find sometimes that, or a lot of times really, that with life settlements, people will just want some information. They'll come in, they'll talk, they'll go home, talk to their family, and then they may come back. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily.
Or it depends how long they've been listening. Mm. If they've been listening for 2 or 3 years, they're ready. They come in and say, no, I'm ready. I understand.
Okay.
If they're new, that might not be true. But if they've been listening a long time, they know how it works.
Cool. All right. And you've got some availability this coming week to talk to people, I assume. Yes.
Yes.
And one last time for people to call, make an appointment, get started, get information. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.